Hey y'all, welcome back to The Score. This is your host, Callie Montague, and on this episode, we are talking all things Philip Branch Production Horse Sale. So if you haven't already put it on your calendars, September 10th through the 13th in Bryan, Texas at the Brazos County Expo, the Philip Branch is putting on one heck of a weekend. They've got a World Series qualifier that's happening 10th through the 12th. On Sunday the 13th, they've got a couple U.S. Ropens that I think it's from the 10 to the 7, so something fun for the family. Everybody can rope in that. And then the headliner, obviously, is on Friday evening. They have 44 head of either home-raised or home-trained Philip Branch horses being offered to the public, and they are super excited about it. So without going into too much detail, we talk about it right here. I've got Shane and John Philip on the mic to talk about it all. We're talking about the roping a little bit, obviously the highlight horses, what horses they're excited to see be ridden through the sale ring, what you can expect to see in the sale. They said this is the most diverse group of horses they've had in a long time. So you can expect to see there's a lot of 2 and 3 year olds in there. There's some 4 and 5 year olds ready to start your way. And then there's some sure enough ones in there that are ready to take and go win on. One thing I loved about talking to John and Shane is that they won't hold back the good ones. If they think they're ready to go and see them be successful with someone else, then they'll put them in the sale and go ahead and let y'all have them. So there's some brood mares. There's a little bit of everything. There's a stud in there that's a standout that they're super excited for someone to start their own little program with, or just go to healing on him, man. It sounds like he's ready to do whatever you want. He's a metallic cat stud, so they're sure excited about that. So without further ado, let's get to talking to John and Shane and let y'all know about all things Philip Branch Production Horse Sale. Welcome, Phillips men. I appreciate y'all coming on.
You bet. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So let's kick off with just tell me, introduce both yourselves if you don't mind. That way we can tell who's who on this joint phone call we're having.
I'm John Phillips.
I'm Shane Phillips.
Perfect. Perfect, guys. All right. So we're talking horse sale stuff. And I know y'all's event, this is a whole weekend. It's not just the horse sale on Friday. We're doing World Series. We've got U.S. Roping, sounds like. So going to be a big weekend happening in Bryan. Is that right? That second weekend of September?
Second week of September at the Brazos County Expo.
Perfect.
We start on Thursday with our World Series. World Series roping is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then we have a USTRC roping on Sunday. And then this year our horse sales Friday night, September 11th.
Perfect. This is the 14th year I saw. We're offering 44 head. So talk me through. We'll get into kind of some specifics, and Whitney told me a couple of the standouts, but just overall, what can people expect to see? And tell me about this set of horses y'all are offering.
You know, I think this is probably the widest variety of horses that we've ever had in there. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got probably more 2 year olds this year and 3 year olds than we've ever put in there. Most of the time, the horses are a little older. You know, we do put colts in there every year, but I feel like there's more colts because I think there's more fraternities and all that stuff going on now, and there's more demand for those horses
for sure.
So I think it's a bigger variety for kind of what everybody's doing. You know, they can get them younger where we usually sell them older and more trained in the roping. You know, if they got some guy they want to send their horse to, we're offering more colts for that.
Cool. Very cool. So y'all have in the past offered more of like your 5, 6, 7 kind of ready to go be taken and seasoned rather than taken and started is what you're saying.
I think now, you know, used to the trend was everybody wanted an older horse and, mm-hmm. you know, and now we're raising more horses. So obviously we're going to have more 2 and 3 year olds and stuff that we've raised. So, you know, we're just kind of trying to trend to the market. Plus, there is a nice set of older, solid horses in there for the guys that want to go jackpot, too, mm-hmm. you know. So we just tried to diversify it to where, you know, we kind of have, you know, you don't have all the same kind of horses. I mean, there's for sure. from 2 to 3 year olds to there's some 10 and 11 year old solid horses that's been to the roping. So nice. I think we basically try to check all the boxes.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So, man, y'all been doing this for, did I read right, 50 years? I mean, that's a long time to be raising horses, just as a family, a long time to be in the business. What would you say that's what has changed here in these last couple years is y'all's trying to kind of stay with, because it's no argument that people are wanting younger stuff. I mean, y'all are spot on there, obviously. Is that something that's changed overall in your program or just kind of what this sale is kind of showing this year? Talk to me kind of how that's changed over the years.
I think over the years, I mean, what we've tried to focus on is actually making the horses we raise better. Just what our customers want and need, and that end of it. You know, I don't think as far as a whole, I mean, everybody wants a nice horse and a broke horse. So that's where we've tried to put into our program.
For sure. Yeah, I don't think a good horse flesh will ever go out of style. It doesn't matter what age they want them at. So
no. And that's like a head horse. The head horse, the big, strong, good head horses never, you know.
Yep.
They're never going to go out of style.
For sure. So walk me through, it can be day-to-day or just kind of normal operations in y'all's program. So who's doing what on y'all's team just as far as getting these horses ready, getting them broke, getting them solid? Who is in charge of what in y'all's program?
Well, I mean, we all have our own, you know, we have our own colts and stuff like that. And me and John, we have some guys that we send the colts to as 2-year-olds, you know, just depending. We kind of try to, you know, we think what colts are going to fit what guy to start to, you know, we try to put them in the right place. And I mean, we get them back. We usually send them off as 2-year-olds. You know, they might leave for 60 to 120 days, and then they come back, and then we'll kind of go through them. And you know, if they're, we try to, you know, do what's best for the horse, mostly. You know, and then we'll use them outside and ranch on them. And when we think they're ready to go to getting roped on, that, you know, that's what we'll rope on them. And depending on, you know, if it's a really good heel horse, I'll let John have it, truthfully. You know, I mean, that's not what I do, you know, so, and then the head horses, I just, you know, those big horses, they're all different individuals, they're none of them are the same, so depends how fast and slow you can go with them, and we try to do what's best for them.
Perfect.
But every day, me and John rope together, so it's kind of, you know, we go off each other and help each other. Iron sharpens iron kind of deal to us.
Nice. So what would y'all say, just to pick your brains about, like, that process, what would y'all say is the key, like, moment, or not even moment, but stage of a horse's life? Like, can you get by them kind of being started a little wonky as 2-year-olds, but you can fix it as 3 and 4? Would you say that the 2-year-old process is the most important part? What would you say is the most important part in that process in y'all's program?
You know, I think the whole process as a whole, I mean, I think you need to be starting them colts as 2-year-olds, you know, and then I don't think you can skip any steps as far as, you know, you're not going to be able to cheat the process.
Right.
You know, like, they need to go to good 2-year-old guys. They need to, you know, they got to have the outside miles. They got to go have a job. You know what I mean? And then when you start roping on them, the outside miles, to me, helps their mind. But also, too, you got to still have, like, we rope a lot of jerseys and stuff when we start them colts, a lot of slow cattle. We log, you know, I mean, it's just to mold them and then bring them along. And actually, the slower you bring them along, the faster they make, you know, so, but if you try to cheat some of that, you know, you're always going to be trying to cover that, you know, you're going to almost patch a hole and then another hole is going to come out somewhere else.
Right.
You know?
Right.
That's my opinion. I mean, at the end of the day, the horse will kind of tell you his talent in the end, but you can't really skip the steps. If you go to skipping the steps, it's going to come back and bite you.
Of course. Yeah, it'll rear its head later.
That's right. That's right.
Perfect. So I read that y'all don't take any consignments in this sale. That's correct, right?
No, we don't take any consignments. I mean, there's a few horses that me and Shane will partner with some boys on or something like that. But as far as consignments, you know, the reason we don't do consignments is those horses are going to town to be sold.
Mm-hmm.
And when we sell them, we want, you know, that's our customer, so we're going to tend to them.
For sure.
You know what I mean? If it's somebody else and something goes haywire, we can't manage it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
So that's kind of, we're not a consignment sale. We're, you know, we're a production. And that's, you know, that's what we're trying to every year me and Shane are trying to fit the needs of our customers and our new customers. And I think that gives them a, you know, I think that gives them a, they can buy with confidence, you know, they can know, or they know, hey, I bought a 4-year-old from Shane last year. I know what I'm getting when he tells me this, this is what I'm getting. Plus we let them come to the ranch and try the horses. And,
right.
You know, I mean, it's a sale, but we want everybody to be able to buy with confidence.
Of course. Yeah. That's so important with this age of buying horses online, which sounds silly, but that's how a lot of people find their horses these days. Like being able to go put hands on them, see how they move, doing all that in person. That's a special experience, I'm sure.
Yeah. And it's kind of nowadays, I mean, we didn't have all the video, you know, you just word of mouth and you went and tried one
right.
Or you went and bought one. I mean, it's changed so much, you know,
for sure. So what can people expect when they come out to y'all's place and like before the sale to try one or look at one? Is that something, do they, on those finished horses, do they get to get on them and ride them? Do y'all just show them? What can people expect if they set up an appointment to come out there and try those horses?
Yeah, we let them, you know, what we try to do is let them come try them, ride them within the specs. I mean, we're not going to let somebody come in and run 30 steers on one.
Right,
but,
of course.
We want you to come and get familiar with the horse. You might, you know, Shane might run a few on them. I might run a few on them and then let them on them, lope them around, run a couple steers. You know, the colts is a little different. They might just be able to come watch it. You know, we'll let them lope them around or something like that. But
yeah, of course.
The older horses, I mean, what I try to tell people, I want them to buy a horse that they can go win something on.
For sure.
And they need to be able to ride the horse to see if he's going to fit. And that's what the horse, that's the horse they need. Because if he doesn't fit, that doesn't do them any good, and it doesn't do us any good. That's why we let them come try them.
Right. So talk me through what prep looks like for a big weekend like that. I mean, y'all are putting on a rope, and you're putting on this huge sale. What's all going to happen for y'all's team between August 4th and that night before the sale? What all has to happen just to put on the event? What all are y'all getting ready for in this next month and a half?
You know, it's pretty crazy, truthfully. You know, there'll be some of those horses that might get rode three or four times a day.
Really?
When different people show up to look at them, you know, and then there'll be some of them that we might show two or three times in that time period. But I mean, some of those horses, it's a pretty grinding process for them, as much as they may get showed.
Right.
You know, everybody's kind of, it's all hands on deck, truthfully. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the week of the sale, you got some colts, they've never been to town.
Right.
So, you know, to get them up there and get them prepared and get them where they're acclimated to, where we can actually show them to their ability, it's another job in its own self.
I'm sure,
you know,
yeah.
So there's lots of moving parts to make everything go for us, the cattle and getting everybody set up with the rope and that run good and have the horses where you could show them and they actually show what they are.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure take them, because some of these production sales happen right there on the home place. And so y'all taking them to town, I can only imagine especially for your younger stuff, that's a whole nother beast.
That's a whole nother piece of the puzzle.
For sure. Last year, y'all talked about those sale incentives, the Riata, the gold buckle, things like that. Talk to me about what an incentive program like that and offering horses that are in those programs, because I'm sure y'all have a front row seat to the fact that you can't talk about one without Riata getting brought up. Or are they Riata? What are they eligible for? What have those programs done for y'all's program? How have y'all acclimated to that? I know y'all have got a couple studs in the Riata deal now. So talk to me about those incentives and what it's done for y'all's deal.
I think from day one, I thought the Riata is, you know, it's kind of based around every, you know, it's for every roper. So I think those horses being in the Riata incentive, I mean, I think it's made our colts worth more money.
Mm-hmm.
Plus your older horses, I think those guys are wanting to go to that roping and have a chance to rope for that kind of money. So it's helped. You know, I think it's helped the horse market. As far as the other incentives, they're more young horse maturity based. So,
right. Like
I said, we got some 2, 3, 4-year-old horses that they can come in and they can send them to their guys and, you know, have a chance to go. You know, I think it's helped our business as far as, you know, used to not a lot of people wanted a 2 or 3 year old. And right. I really think it's made the, it's made the mares worth way more money. Used to, mares were taboo. You tell somebody you had a mare, they wouldn't even come look at it. Right. Now they're wanting mares. They're tracking earnings on them. I mean, it's just evolved. I mean, and it's evolved in a good way.
For sure. Yeah, I know. I joke the amount used to, you could ask a guy like, you want this mare? And he would just laugh at you. Well, now that's not, you don't hear very many people doing that anymore. Just sticking their nose up at them just because of the value of breeding them. If they're sound, like that is, it's shot through the roof.
It's absolutely nuts what a mare, if they think it's going to throw a head horse that has a chance, it's absolutely nuts what they think she's worth.
Oh, man. Totally different ballgame than even 10 years ago. Like, we're not even talking about that long ago. But
we're talking about 5 years.
Yeah, like within the last couple years. Yeah, for sure.
A couple to 5 years, and now, you know, what has that mare produced? What is... You know, what'd she win? What, you know, I mean, they're just asking those questions, and those questions were never asked in our industry. Those questions were more in the cutting horse.
Yeah, right,
horse.
Right.
You know, now they're asking those questions in our industry.
Right. It's funny, we're breeding rope horses. We're not, I mean, yes, you're riding rejects a lot. I'm sure a lot of y'all's, the good stuff goes back to those good old reject bloodlines, but still, man, it's, we're playing a little different ballgame here in the last couple of years than we have been, for sure.
Well, just like us, we have our own 2-year-old guys, and
right.
I mean, we have ours is a rope horse program. We're not depending on a reiner or a cutter to call us and say, hey, come look at what we got.
Right.
And 90% of the cutters aren't big enough to head on.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
So,
what do you think our percentage is on getting a head horse out of our mares?
Yeah, ours raise, I mean, if I have to go buy something, I usually have to go buy a heel horse type
right.
out of the stuff we raise. Most of the stuff we raise are head horses.
I mean, if you had 20 of our colts there, 16 of them are going to be big enough to head on.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's just, you know, we don't, I say our specialty is raising a head horse, truthfully.
So was that by design, you think, or that's just kind of how things have evolved? Why do you think that is?
I think that was by design. Our dad was a header,
right.
And he wanted head horses, you know. And at that time, you could, when he started, you could go, you know, heel horses were a lot easier to find with all the cutters and all that stuff.
Of course.
But head horses were getting harder to find back then.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the mares were by design to raise the head horses.
There was a time when I don't really even think people were paying attention to the head horses as much. It wasn't really, nobody was caring so much about how they were bred, what they were working like. We were paying attention to the heel horse flesh, and now I think that's, in my opinion, it's completely flip-flopped. So
yeah, no, and I mean, how long ago has that been when you say those, you know, those gildens went to disappearing out of, you know, the big gildens?
Well, it's been like that forever. I mean, the big horses that lived like a little horse were not.
We bred away from them.
Yeah. Who makes the call, or how do y'all make the call and the decisions for what horses go into each of these now, fixing to be 14 sales? Is that kind of a, y'all start in January and kind of make your call, or is it just a running process? How do these 44 horses get picked for this sale?
To be honest, we don't try to overload it with the same horse.
Okay.
You know what I mean? We don't want to look up and we got all 25 and 6-year-old gildens in there with nothing else.
Okay.
We try to broaden what, you know, like if we say, if we got a colt, we really like him or something, but we don't think he's ready for the people, we won't put him in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It might take us another year to have, we don't want that horse to go, we're selling him just to sell him. So
right.
If we don't think that horse is ready, we won't put him in there. You know, and we, you know, if we think that's a pretty good colt and he's going to suit the people, we'll put him in there. It just depends on, but we don't want to overload it with the same horse, pretty much.
Yeah. So basically you're constantly just assessing your herd and, man, this one is ready, maybe next year, just kind of constantly making those decisions.
That's right. And to, you know, I think we've kind of put a little more emphasis of putting some 2 and 3 year old mares in there.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the fact that hopefully somebody will like them and they'll go futurity them, or, you know, that helps our brand too. If they go get a nice mare and go use her and and you know, that gets our blood out there, you know, where
for sure.
That's what we think. And we want to put, you know, there's horses that, you know, like there's a gray horse in there this year that my daughter's been hauling that, you know, everybody's like, I can't believe you're selling that horse. Well, that's what we do. And if we don't put those kind of horses out in the market, the customers, you know, I want them to say, hey, I got a chance to buy that horse,
right.
You know, and they think enough of that horse to stick their daughter on and the haul around, and he's a perfect age, and, you know, not getting into a boxing yourself into a deal where, oh, they keep the good ones and sell what they don't want.
Yeah,
we're right. Selling the good ones.
I hate the phone call when I get and they're like, okay, we saw what you got to sell. What else you got hit in the back?
Yeah, I can only imagine that's a kick in the mouth.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, hey, man, I put, like this year, I put the horse that I've rode the last couple of years at the BFI and placed on, and I placed on him, and he won the head horse of the day at the Clay Logan and stuff, and
yeah.
They're like, wow, you put that horse in? Yeah, I put my best horse in there. I want somebody to take him and do good.
Right, right. That's that Sparky horse ride. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, very cool. These days, as the market stands right now, that people are getting pickier with their horses that they're looking at, or do you think they're buying more aggressively? What are you seeing from buyers and people that are coming and looking at these horses? What are some things y'all are seeing or kind of noticing that might be different from how it has been?
I think they're pickier.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that as an industry, we've evolved with what you guys do with videos, and yeah, I mean, there are a lot
more educated.
They're a lot more educated.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Where back in the day, I mean, the people that were educated were probably cowboys, you know, that come off a ranch. And then now you have all this stuff with the kids and the videos and, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, and it's for good. I mean, it's done our industry some good. But
right.
Everybody better.
I think it's made our training better. It's made making better hands. I mean, it's our horses are broker, you know, used to if they want to one to break at the pole, they just tighten their tie down.
Right,
you know?
Right. So pull her head down, pat her.
You know, we'll slow him down by the tie down instead of, you know, getting them broke. And I mean, like I said, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier. You can't mm-hmm. skip the steps, but horses are better. I mean, the breeding's better. Horses are, I mean, there's a lot of nice horses these days.
For sure. I joke, we joke about, like, I talk to all the rookies, right, for what I do, and they're like so knowledgeable about one thing, and you know, they're 18 years old and they just know everything there is to know, and their dad's like, well, duh, that's all they do is watch YouTube about it. That's all they do is watch roping.com and X Factor. I mean, that's all they do all day long is just ingest information. Of course they're going to be smarter than we were when we were 18, you know, like they can't help but be that way. So I can imagine the horse market, same thing. They just have full access to all of this information all the time. So
yeah, the only thing they don't have to do anymore is go somewhere and learn it. You know,
right, yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
Used to, you have to go somewhere and apprentice under somebody or get to a ranch or somewhere. Now they do it by their phone. So I
right.
do think we are missing out on some kids that need to, you know, go to a ranch and learn how to gather the cattle.
How long it actually takes a horse to get into that place.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, they'd see it. And, you know, which we're all guilty of, we're not going to put something on there that don't look good.
Yeah, of course.
So they don't know what all the grind is to get a horse to a certain spot for him to be able to do some things.
For sure. So let's talk head horses for a second, since I think that's kind of, y'all have said, that's kind of what y'all's program's based off of. What are some things that make the head horses in y'all's program successful? Like, what are something, are we making sure, are we worried about them being fit for everybody? Is it, we're trying to make jackpot horses? Are we making rodeo horses on the head side? What's the head horse flesh look like? Or what are some goals y'all have for those horses in y'all's program?
I mean, I think we have a broad board of those horses. I think we got horses, you know, you say rodeo horses, there's two or three horses in there that have been won on at every level of rodeo already.
Right.
And then there's horses in there for the guy that's a four that wants to go to the roping on Sunday.
Yep.
They're accommodating, you know. I think the head horse market is crazy to me. I mean, I love that, but there's still a niche. You know, how many guys are Trip Brazil?
Right.
You know, how many of those guys can, you know, there's I feel like the vast deal of our industry is guys that want to go to the Open on Saturday. So you have to have horses for those guys.
For sure.
And I think, you know, yeah, we have horses in there for the guy that wants to go rodeo. But, you know, the vast deal, we want to be able to fit the public too.
Right.
You know, and we want them to have a pretty horse, and I want him to be big enough, and I want him to be gentle enough, and for them to go have fun and go to Vegas and do good. And, you know, really, those guys got a chance to win more money than the guys at the rodeo.
They do. That's exactly right. Before we get into talking about just some favorites and some standouts from the 44 head, y'all are buying, selling, raising Coriani cattle. Is that still right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Well, it's no secret that industry's just been a big old mess here lately, especially with just with everything that's been going on. How have y'all handled that with the border situation? I mean, we don't have to go super in depth, but with y'all putting on a rope, and we do need to talk about it. What's that looked like for y'all? Has it affected you in any way? What's that just kind of the overall nature of the beast been here lately?
It's actually, I mean, it's a good time for us. I mean, as far as, because we have the numbers, you know, we raise probably 1,100 or 1,200 head of ropers, you know, throughout the year. You know, the way our deal is set up, you know, in the spring we have a World Series, so we'll break in 2 truckloads of steers. You know, they'll go to Ace Ashford's and our roping, and then they go to North Dakota to the Carsons. And then this, for our fall roping and our horse sale, we'll break in a truckload of steers, and those steers will leave and go, we'll rope them at our roping, because it kind of ensures that we're roping good cattle at our opens, you know. And so we'll break those in. When they're done, they go to Scott Gage in Missouri. And then we've been selling everything else that we have. Goes, you know, basically Ty Yost, Scott Gage, Carson. And the Carsons are, you know, they're buying truckloads of cattle. And then there's a handful of people that's always been our customers that buy 10 and 12 here.
Right,
these
right.
Steers, heifers or whatever, you know. And the low number end of our opens, we've been using W.R. Baker's, and Bobby Joe sends me a nice set of cattle for, you know, that's roper friendly. For the low number deals, you know, and we run 2 arenas. I feel like the 2 arenas at our opens make it run a little smoother, and you can keep them cattle sorted accordingly. You know,
but
the market on the cattle, I mean, I just think, there's no cattle, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
And I mean, I feel like everything's so far. I mean, you look at the cattle at these futurities, I've seen that we are roping good cattle. I mean,
right.
I don't think the natives have hurt anything. I mean, the only thing it's hurt is, you know, the prices are just so high, you know.
Of course.
But
yeah.
Besides that, as far as quality of the ropings, I haven't seen the quality of the ropings go down myself.
Right. Yeah, we just talking to all my roping producers, those guys that raise their own cattle are like, I'm loving it. I don't know why everybody's mad, because they're like, we have our own cattle and they're great, and people are needing them more than they ever have. So yeah, I figured with y'all's being a homegrown operation, it was not going to be a bad report.
No, and I don't think, look, if they open Mexico back up, I mean, the Mexico guys, they're not going to see what we're selling our cattle for and then say, okay, now we're going to sell them to you for this. I mean, they're
right.
going to mirror our market.
Yes,
and they're always a little higher than what we are.
They're
for
always
sure.
higher. If a Mexican steer went across there and he brings 2,000, our steers bring, seems like $200 off.
Yeah, they're always $200-$300 behind. And,
right.
And those guys, I mean, from what I hear, they got some kill plants going on. I mean,
I
mean, I believe the screw worm deal, but there's some other factors in that too besides just the screw worm.
Yeah.
Taking a quick break from this episode to remind you to come join the party Friday, September 11th in Bryan, Texas for the 14th annual Phillip Ranch Production Horse Sale. They're selling 44 horses that they have raised or trained on the ranch, including finished rope horses, prospects, yearlings, and broodmares. It's a weekend full of World Series team roping, USTRC ropings, horse sales, and family fun. Get it on your calendars and visit philipranch.com for all the details.
Now let's get back into the episode. Let's pick out each of you. Y'all tell me which few horses y'all are excited about coming out of this sale. What are we excited to see go on?
You know, there's a Bay Snip Nose horse in there that's been ranched on the lot. I just think he's a very classy moving horse.
Cool.
In the head, and you know, he's really smooth. He has a very good way about doing everything. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm not saying this horse is something somebody's gonna ride the national finals one day, but as far as a classy, pretty horse that everybody's gonna watch, I really like him.
Cool.
You know, if I was going, you know, that would be one of my picks. And then there's a buckskin horse that, for 5 years old, I could ride him at an open roping right now.
Yeah.
And have a chance. Not just, oh, you can, I mean, hell, they'll let you enter on anything.
Right. But, yeah, they don't really care what you put your money up on.
Like I told John the other day, I said, you know, I've rode horses at the BFI that weren't as good as this horse.
Right.
You know, I think those two horses would be horses besides, say, Sparky that, you know, I think they're going to go places and people are going to watch them.
Yeah.
It's no different than the horse that went through Rancho Rio this year that come from us that was the highest seller.
Yeah.
You know, that horse was 4 years old, and I was like, that horse is going to go places and people are going to pay attention.
Right.
I think those two horses are the same way. You know, it's just getting them to the right people, and those horses going in, everybody knows where they come from.
Right. Which, off the top of your head, you know what lot either of those horses are? Just so I know.
Cutter's 20.
Okay.
Bill is 26.
Bill is 26.
Gotcha. And what about you, Mr. John? You got an answer for me?
You know, on the heel horses, the lot 10, the rock star, the metallic cat stud,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he's I've hauled him around to the ropings this year. He come out of Luke Jones's program as a scout horse, and I've had real good luck riding behind Luke.
Mm-hmm.
I took him to one horse show at Houston. I won the junior healing on him in Houston, qualified him for the world show. I take him to the ropings. He's quiet. I mean, if somebody's wanting, he's a jackpot heel horse for somebody.
Yep.
Plus, somebody wanting to start him a breeding program, he could go that way too.
Yep.
He's by Metallic Cat and out of a Shining Spark mare. And then I like, there's a horse, Spinach, that we raised. He's 6 years old. He's a real heavy matey, chunky little horse.
Hmm.
He's real broke. We've used him on the ranch. He's ready to kind of, I really like that horse. You know, there's been several that come out of my horses that, like that Logan Moore's horse, and Lane Mitchell's riding a sorrel that, and this horse is going to measure up to those horses. I mean,
cool.
He's something that somebody's going to go, you know, somebody's going to go use this horse. I mean, he's quick-footed. He can run. You know what I mean?
Yep.
He still needs to see the lights a little bit, but as far as feel, he's got a lot of good feel. And then I think there's a whole herd of them little four-year-old heel horse types that, you know, that you're going to be able to go rope calves on, heel on, you know, there's a good set of four-year-olds.
Cool.
For the heel horses.
Very cool. You were talking about a gray. What horse that your daughter's been riding, which horse is that?
That's lot 12.
12, okay, cool.
That's Mouse.
Sweet.
You know, she won the number 9 at Ace Ashford on him this year. She rode him at the U.S. Finals. She, you know, everywhere she goes and team ropes, that's the horse she's rode all year.
Nice. He's cute.
Yeah, he's a big, good, strong horse. He's a good horse.
Nice.
There's been a lot of horses that have come out of this sale, you know, and come through here that now, you know, I get to riding around, and there's a lot of horses that have come through here that we don't realize till you see them again that the guys are making a living on.
Yeah.
Rodeo. You know, that kind of tells me the longevity of them. You know, there's been, you know, a lot of horses, you see them go and then you don't ever see them again.
Yeah.
I think the deal is that a lot of hog horses are end up in places that guys are using them to make a living on, and I think that means something.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think we're more focused on this now. You know, there for a while we rodeoed and was gone, and you know, now this is what we do. This is how we make our living. So I think, you know, every year we keep doing it, like doing it and getting, you know, you're always going to try to evolve and get better when you're doing it. You
know, like, I know there's a bay mare the other day that comes, she's, what, she got there 4 years ago. And I know Tanner Thomason bought her and rode her at Cheyenne the other day.
You
know,
wow.
And I know that the boy that he bought her from was, she didn't get traded around, you know.
Yeah.
Then Aaron's bought her, and then the horse that he won the all around at the calf rope another day, he was one of our horses too.
Oh, no way. How cool.
So, I mean, they are getting used in that way, you know, and we're selling them as 4-year-olds and stuff and 5-year-olds, and those horses are, you see them now, they're 8, 9 years old, and those guys are making a living on them.
Yeah.
Well, like the horse that Brooks sold at Rancho Rio, we raised that horse.
Really?
You know, he was by our Cat Itchy stud, and we sold him as 4 years old, and at 4 years old, he brought a lot of money, you know.
Yeah.
And then you go 4 more years and he brings more money, you know, so that's the thing is, you know, the young horses that people are buying through there, they're going to be able to do something with them, you know, and they're getting out there now.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's 15 years or 14 years, but it's taken us that long to get it going, you know.
For sure. For sure. Yeah, I can only imagine that when you turn on the short round at Cheyenne and you see something that come through y'all's program, I bet that's a pretty cool feeling.
Yeah.
Talk to me about what kind of brood mares that are coming through. I see one, I'm just clicking through it, but what kind of brood mares y'all are offering and what that can do for somebody's program in y'all's opinion, getting their hands on a good mare like that come from some of y'all's good studs. Tell me about a couple of those brood mares and what that could do for somebody.
You know, there's a 2-year-old mare in there right now. Her mother is out of the same mare that the one Tanner bought the other day. So it's not like we're cutting any corners.
Right.
You know, that, you know, what we want to keep or what we don't want to keep. You know, the reason is I have a lot of that mare, if that makes sense. She never had a gelding, so I've got pretty much all the fillies out of her except the one that they got.
Right.
You know, so that just tells you the power of the mares, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Then we're turning those mares out and breeding them.
Right.
Them boys are rodeoing on them, and we're turning them out to raise geldings. You know, so
they're like a factory to us.
Right.
You know, that's what they are to us. And back to what we talked about, I mean, there's people that come to the sale that want to buy a brood mare, that want some of our blood, that, you know, and they're all those mares are bred to Riata Buckle studs, so,
right,
you know, it all goes hand in hand.
And I know these, a lot of them are breeding to running mares now because they're trying to get them big.
Right.
You know, necessarily don't want to go that way. Ours are going to be big.
Right.
You know. You know, it's nothing for us to gather a pen of mares and those mares all be 15 hands and weigh, I mean, they're going to weigh 12 to 1280, you know.
Right.
So, you know, that's why the gilds are coming so big, too.
For sure. Do y'all think people are shopping for bigger heel horses, too? I know we talked about head horses, but, like, do you think what people are shopping for heel horse-wise has changed at all? Or do you think...
Okay. I think that some of the cutters are too, you know, they're small, like the spinach horse I was telling you about. Mm-hmm. He's what I call a real size heel horse.
Okay.
I mean, he's 14'3", knocking 15 hands, and he's strong. You know, where some of these horses, I'm not downing them. I'm just, even for a heel horse, they got to be big enough to take the tugs.
Yeah, for
sure.
You
know, so... We don't want a little heel horse either.
I even think it on the calf horses too.
Yeah.
You know, those horses, they're not, you're not going to get by on a little horse anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is, I mean, you might, they're special ones. Don't get me wrong.
Right, of course.
Vehicles, but for the amount of roping people get to do nowadays and the amount of, I mean, everybody catches pretty good, it seems like now.
Right.
the horse is going to have to be big enough to take the pulls.
For sure.
You know, if he takes the tugs, he's not going to last.
For sure. Let's talk about Rockstar a little more. That lot 10 horse, I know we talked about him a minute, but come through Luke's programs. That's the horse we're talking about, right?
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes.
So tell me, obviously Luke's very accomplished in his own right, just with everything, but tell me a little bit more about that horse, kind of what you hope happens with him or where you hope he goes, and just tell me a little bit more about lot 10.
You know, I think that horse is, you know, I think he's real heavy made. He's a real strong, you know, like he's a real size heel horse.
Right.
His stride's good. The way he finds the ground's good, you know. And the hopes for him, for me, was we've never sold a stud before. And cool. I think he's the right stud to sell. You know, I think that somebody can take him and go to jackpot on him. You know, I think they can breed him, you know. And I think he's a kind of stud with his way his stride is and stuff like that. You go to crossing them on the right kind of mares, you're gonna race some nice horses. You
cool.
know, we kept two breedings to him a year, you know, just because I like him that much, and I'd like to have some colts buying too, you know.
Right.
So I hope he goes. I don't know where he's gonna go, but whoever gets him is gonna have a nice horse, and I think he's gonna be a good breeding horse.
Very cool. How important is it, in your opinion, either of y'all's opinion, for a horse that's as well demeanored as it sounds like that horse is, in this everyday where, like, a lot of people are owning studs, but they'll sort themselves as far as how they're acting. So how important is it for a horse to be as well-minded as it sounds like that horse is?
Well, I think the ability of this horse, you know, mm-hmm. his mind is what, you know, his mind's what's going to set him apart. You can ride him up amongst everybody, and he's never going to show you that he's a stud, you know.
Yeah.
And I think those horses, I think they pass that feature on. You know, I think that's mm-hmm. going to be a thing that's going to be one of his breeding characteristics, that you're going to get a very good-minded horse.
Cool.
And the way that he goes to the ground is going to be part of what he puts in his colts too. Now, I mean, I don't have a crystal ball, but
of course.
That horse, one of his strongest things is he goes to the ground, he don't miss it.
Yeah.
And I mean, most of the times that's natural.
Yeah, he's a cool horse, and I think somebody's gonna, you know, I hope he goes, you know, I think somebody could still go show him quite a bit. He's only five, you
right.
know, so he has another year for charities. He's qualified for the world show this year.
Showed him one time and today at the world show.
Right.
So I think he still has, you know, I think I'm selling him at a prime time where they could still promoting, riding, using, you know,
mm-hmm.
and he's good enough to, you know, he's not a, I've taken him to the ropings. So, I mean, he's been backed in there and went to the rope. He's not a show horse that, you know, went and run one or two steers and then put up. I mean,
right,
he's
right.
been to the ropings and been hauled around and used, you know.
Cool. Yeah, that's important too. Just while I'm assuming while he's younger, for somebody to take him and just keep taking him to town, keep using him, keep doing all that. And then eventually, like, you know, breed him if that's what you want to do. But for sure, keep him.
You're going to be able to win some money on him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he's going to be something that's, you know, you're going to be able to, if I was a young person wanting to start me a little breeding program,
yep.
you're going to have something. And he's bimetallic cat, you know, he's not watered down on that end of the breed.
Right. He's not just a stud. He's got, his name doesn't hurt either.
That's right.
Perfect. All righty, let's move on to Sparky. I know we talked about him a little bit, but Shane, tell me a little bit more about him, kind of what you're hoping happens with him, or if just kind of what you hope the future looks like, and
you know,
tell me more about him.
You know, everybody when they ask nowadays, I want a real head horse. You know, that's always the, you know, that's the question out there.
Right.
You know, that this horse is a very, he can just light the ground on fire running, if that makes sense. But he's a, you know, the horse kind of has a cow horse background as far as how he, you know, they did that to him and stuff. So it's, you know, it's not just a horse that you can get on, and he's a head horse broke. I mean, he's a very broke individual, and he is one that is wanting to run. He looks to that. His first thing is to try to catch up.
Yeah.
You know? I thought it was pretty good. I mean, I took him to 4 or 5 opens around here, and then I took him up there, and it was probably one of, I think, Clay Logan's opens, probably one of the hardest setups on a head horse.
Yep.
He'd go 3 times, you know, and it's real steers. And I placed on him, and he wins head horse of the day. I thought that was kind of a testament of what he is, you know.
For sure.
I think the horse is something you're going to make a living on, you know. And like I told John, I said, we've never put a horse in there that's probably this far along in that area to be able to go do that, you know.
For sure.
So I think he's a horse that they can buy him and leave here and go right and take him to a rodeo and win something, you know.
For sure. So tell me about how long have you had that horse?
I've had him 3 years.
3 years, perfect. So what's that, like when you got him, did you know he had that kind of potential, or like how did that whole process?
I thought he had a lot of talent. Rodney Rosenhauer, he raised him. So okay. I bought him from Rodney. I was roping with Joseph, and that horse was green. Mm-hmm. And they come through there, and that man brought him to Joseph, and that's how, you know, and he's like, I think the horse got a lot of talent. And me and Joseph went and rode him, and that's how I bought him. You know, he just was green. I mean, he wasn't green being broke. He just never really been nowhere. I mean, they take him a couple places in the head, you know. And that's where he comes from. Rodney raised him from a colt, you know. And he had a really good, that horse had a really good mama. And I think Rodney's been really selective. That mare's, I think she's got some age on her now, but he's really selective about breeding her. And I think that horse, really, if you look at him at his age, he was kind of in the prime of Dual Spark before Bobby sold him.
Right.
And he bettered to Dual Spark. And I mean, he might be the biggest Dual Spark I've ever seen.
Other than his run, like, man, what do you think a guy's going to see about that horse? Other than just his accolades, I know, but tell me some other things about him as far as how he works, what...
He does everything real pretty.
Okay.
You know, his head's up, his butt's down, you know, and he wants on his back leg, and he don't ever not want to face, you know. If you got to watch him, he might overcorrect faces, you know. The three hardest things to get a head horse to do is score, run, and face, and none of those things... He ain't like, oh man, he can run, but he don't want to face all that great. He does everything, you know.
Yeah.
He can cover all the bases, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. Perfect. You're going to be sad to watch him go with him being your number one for these last little bit?
I mean, it's a kind of a, you know, me and John were talking about it, and I'm like, that horse is 10 years old now, you know.
Yeah.
If I look up and I hold on to him, he's 13, 14 years old, and we're raising enough horses now that I have enough variety that there, you know, there's a colt that I raise that I really like, and I think, and there, I have a bald-faced horse too, so I still have something to ride. You know? You know, but if I don't sell him, I won't keep bringing those other horses along.
Right.
I'll just keep
riding. Right.
So it's one of those deals, and I mean, we're so busy. I'm not trying to rodeo. If I was rodeoing, I wouldn't sell him.
Right.
That horse, he don't need to sit here and not get used. He needs to go get rodeoed on. Yeah. And I'll go to one of those guys that jackpots, and that's what they're wanting to do, you know.
And that's going to be good, Aber. I mean, us, that's the product we want to put out.
Yeah, you know? For sure.
So it's perfect for what we're doing. You know, he's a good business card, you know.
For sure. Well, I can imagine too, with just, I mean, both y'all coming off of, y'all rodeoed before, y'all have done the fraternities, y'all have done all these things, just people knowing that he was your number one, they're like, man, that has to mean something. So I'm sure that.
That horse, I rode him at the Cody Johnson once, I rode him at the BFI once, I rode him at the Lone Star Open, and I've never not made it back or not won something.
Yeah. It's awesome.
So, I mean, that kind of tells me, and I mean, I, to be honest, he was doing it probably a little green to that stuff, you know, because it's not like I can go season him in the 13 point, you know,
right.
I mean,
that's kind of
where he got baptized in the fire, if that makes sense.
For sure. Well, that just proves the point of somebody needs to take him, go rodeo on him, because, my God, if that's baptism by fire, take him out there for a couple months and see if they can hang. That's one way to do it.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I think the fraternity deal, you know, you're seeing a lot of young horses that are trained by the guys that rope real good now.
Yep.
You know, we used to have to go find that horse from a Rodney or somebody, you know.
Yep.
And now, I mean, we almost all know what's coming down the pipe when they're 5 or 6 years old, mm-hmm. you know. So I think these horses are getting, you know, shown real soon, and we're all knowing what's coming and what's not coming, you know. And it's just like Clay Smith, this last few weeks, he's got that horse, Firecracker, and look what all he's won.
For
that
sure.
Horse is 8, 9 years old now, you know, and he's old enough to be rodeoed on. You know, that's the thing. We're, you know, you can, but do you really want to rodeo on a 6-year-old horse, or do you want to rodeo on a 9 to 12-year-old horse? Used to be the number.
Yep. Yeah, well, you just have to back in there. I mean, for as many steers as those guys run in so many different places, you've got to back in there on one that you can trust. I had a guy tell me that the other day. You can't back in there and be like, well, yeah, he's good, and the talent's there, and that's great, but if I nod my head, like, is he going to stay in my hand? Is he going to stay behind it? You know, so the trust factor when they're 8 or 9 is, I'm assuming, higher than when they're 5 or 6, you know.
Yes, well, and the other part of that is the way them boys are making a living, they don't get to go tuning back up or schooling. They throw him in a trailer, and the next year they run is going to be for money.
That's
so
right.
Every steer they're chasing is for money. So those horses can't bobble. They don't have time to burn a rodeo to tune a horse. That
for
horse
sure.
has to be on point all the time.
And he's got to be old enough to take that.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That there's no go home and we run one over here tonight. He's pretty good. We can go home to school and tomorrow.
Right.
No, you throw him in the trailer and you're driving 10, 15, whatever it is, across their hours, and you can't be hoping that he's going to work.
Right, yeah. It has to be a no, not a hope.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, I mean, I still do believe them horses have to be old enough to be able, you know, just like no different than, you know, we might have a great 4-year-old, and I mean, I've been accused of, I might have one that's 4, and I think he's unbelievable, but that don't make him a good 10-year-old.
Right. They have to make it that far.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, and I think sometimes them rodeo horses, they do take longer if they can run like that, you know.
Yeah. Man, let's talk about that for a second. I know I said we were almost done, but I should have asked this earlier. Man, with the breakaway deal being huge, we can't deny it anymore. You've got to cater to that market a little bit, calf rope breakaway, whatever you want to call it. So, in y'all's opinion, how does that fit y'all's program? I mean, when you heel on them, are y'all roping calves on all of them? How does that look for y'all just to cater to that part of the market?
You know, like, to me, those, like Logan, that horse, Alvin, mm-hmm. I mean, he was broke, and I healed on him quite a bit. And I think those horses, you know, we put enough runs on them that if they want to go rope calves on them, they can, you know, they can switch them over and go roping calves. I think the healing is probably makes them a little better in the box because they're not blasting them every time.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so a lot of those, there's a gray horse a couple of years ago that he went to Cody McCartney,
mm-hmm.
and they rode calves on him. I called him Wilbur, and I think Clint Robinson bought him the other day. So that horse made a really, really nice calf horse, you know?
Yep.
So, you know, I think that market, as far as, I don't think they're scared to go buy a horse that's been healed on and switch him over, you know,
for sure.
Especially the 4 and 5 year olds and stuff like that.
For sure. Well, and they're in such a high demand too. I can imagine. I mean, these, just with the breakaway getting so big and the fraternities being big, that they're not, you know, I don't think there was ever time they were scared to rope calves on one that had been healed on, but you know, they're like, well, I don't really want to make them break the pin. I don't want to jack with it. But I think now the demand is so high that you've got to find them where you can find them, you know, and if they've been healed on all their life, but the tools are there, then.
Like Aspen's horse, you know, they healed on him first. And I mean,
yeah.
I'll be honest, that horse, he's big enough to head on.
Yeah.
If you know, and then like the red light horse, I know Haley's, that they healed on him.
Yeah,
you know,
thanks
so,
for do.
And those horses we're healing on, we're not letting them blow out of the box a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
They're score. I mean, we do them right. So it's not like them horses are leaving there blind, you know? So you can, especially when they, like the one that Logan got, I mean, he'd been healed on about a year, but I mean, he'd been healed on enough to go through the sweats and stuff like that. So Logan can just go to pin roping and.
I mean, yeah, it wasn't 30 days. It's 30 minutes of security.
30 minutes of security.
Yep. Yeah, that guy's unbelievable with one anyway. But anybody that, if you can see past like what they've been doing, I'm assuming, and just see the tools that are there and just that they were done correctly, I'm sure that speaks volumes.
Yeah, and Logan's a good hand. He knows right. what the, you know, he's not gonna, he knows what he likes, you know, and he's gonna go do, change some stuff that I probably did for what he needs to do. But as far as that, he could piece those horses together, you know, he can put them together.
Yeah. Were there any other horses out of last year's sale that y'all have seen or noticed or kind of been on your radar at all? Or,
you know, there was a banker horse that went through our sale last year. A lady named Courtney Sanders bought him. She mm-hmm. placed at the All Girl at the BFI on him.
Oh, and cool.
She's had some good success on him. I'm probably forgetting some, but they've, you know, you see them around, you know.
Yeah. In y'all's opinion, when this sale's all done, so it's Sunday, we've sold the horses, the cattle have been roped, everything's done, what would make this year's sale a success?
You know, every year it's done a little better. You know, and I think that means we're doing better. So, I mean, I think, like, me and Don were talking about this other day, and, you know, there's more good horses in this sale than we've ever had.
Yep.
So I think that the way it's growing and what we're producing is going to be a better product every year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's gotten to be, I told, we were talking about this, it's kind of gotten to be where everybody, it's a gathering, you know,
yep.
that's a good thing. So, I mean, for it to be a success, I mean, we just wanted to keep doing better and everybody coming and wanting to buy another horse. You know, a lot of our horses are repeat customers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's means a lot to us, you know, that they're getting something they like.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. Turning it into just a whole event is huge. 'Cause then people can just come and camp and they can rope and then they can come and see your good horses. I mean, it's turns it into more of an experience than anything. 'Cause there's horse sales we'll go to just to go, just to say we were there and hang out and watch the horses go through the sale. I mean, turning it into that just keeps people coming back. I can imagine.
We like having people there. We want them to look. If you don't buy a horse, that's okay. But at least we want them seeing the product we're putting out. And as far as success, I mean, we put a lot. There's the easiest part of this weekend is the weekend, because everything leading up to it, you know, with the videos and all that we do. So once you get there, it's a little bit of a relief that you now are ready to go and see what happens, you know.
For sure. For sure. Yeah, like my dad needs a horse, something awful, and he's like, man, I'm not really even ready to buy one, but I kind of just want to go just to see what y'all, and I've already sent him catalog, I'm way ahead of it, but I was like, we're going to probably just go just to see what y'all have got and just see what the heel horses are looking like. So I'm sure there's several people that are like that.
Is Frank your dad?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Frank's a great guy.
Yeah, he's something else. He's like, damn, I can't afford him, but I want to go.
Like Alvin. Alvin had a big bald face. That'd been right up his alley.
Oh, man. If you're talking about the bald face that he, like, used to have, we still have him. He's not.
You do?
Oh, yes. He's 20. Dude, I think he's, like, 30. I mean, he's I'm not kidding. I mean, he's got to be. He said he's 28, but he said that for 5 years. Like, he's not 28. But we still have him, and he's crippled and can barely walk, but he's same horse. He's still there.
That's awesome. Frank's a great guy.
Oh, thank you.
Loving my whole life.
Yeah, he's something else. All right, gentlemen. Well, I think we've covered all of our bases. Is there anything else y'all think we need to chat about before we wrap it up?
I guess the only thing we could say is that August the 22nd through the 28th is when they can come, you know, make an appointment, come look at the horses.
Okay.
You know, so, and then go to the, you know, Facebook, Instagram,
website
yep. catalogs or whatever they need.
Good to go. All righty, gentlemen. Well, I sure appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you, Kelly. We appreciate you.
Absolutely.
Alrighty, y'all, that does it for another episode of The Score. Thanks again for listening, and thank you again to John and Shane for hopping on with me today. I know they're super excited to offer you these 44 head of home-raised, home-trained Phillip Ranch horses that they take a lot of pride in and also really want to offer the customer something they can take and go win on. I know they said that several times, but just to stress that, I know they are super customer-based, and they really want to make sure that when you're throwing your saddle on something that has their brand, that you're proud of what you're riding, that you can win on what you're riding, that the whole family can win on them in certain situations. So it is awesome to get to talk to people that have a program like that, love what they're doing, and offering you a weekend like they're going to have right there in September in Brazos County. So don't forget, if you need any more information, visit philipranch.com, and we will catch you guys in September. Bye, everybody.